Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Thank you so much for being here with us on this Tuesday afternoon, or maybe it's a Tuesday evening or even a Wednesday morning where you are. Thanks very much for listening wherever you are. We've got a great show for you. It's always a great show when Tim's here with us for 2 hours. Tim Staples, senior apologist here at Catholic Answers, will be doing Ask Me Anything for 2 hours. And I'll tell you what, it's we just started the show. I think you probably are aware of that, and already half the lines are full. So if you want to get in here, now's the time to dial with your question for Tim Staples. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. There's two groups of people Tim loves talking to about the faith, Catholics and non-Catholics. So if you fit into one of those two categories, this is your opportunity. You can ask about Jesus, you can ask about the Bible, the saints, the sacraments, you can ask about the moral teachings of the church. And one thing that always amazes me, the questions about church councils when Tim is on. It feels sometimes like he has the church councils memorized. So you can ask about any of that. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. I'm going to try a new thing second hour. And Tim doesn't know about this yet. I'll let him. He'll find out exactly as you find out. And that is, we've mastered the technology of YouTube polls. So we poll our listeners. So we'll start the second hour with our daily poll results, and then Tim will come in and we'll poll Tim. We'll see what he thinks, and then we'll give him the poll results. And we hope this will be a fun new feature that we'll get to do. It'll certainly be fun to do with Tim. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Today's poll question, you can find it over at YouTube. Just search Catholic Answers and click. You know, when you have like your own, like your page, there's a community part on it. You just click the community thing, and you can take any polls that we do there. And this one has to do with the rosary, because we believe nobody knows how to end the rosary. There seems to be a problem in the Catholic community that no one knows how the rosary ends. So how many prayers do you pray after the last decade of the rosary? That's the question. And then you can put your answer there. Just go to YouTube and search for Catholic Answers. Again, the number 888-318-7884, two lines open. Tim, of course, is also the author of Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines. Tim Staples, thank you for being here with us.
It is more than just wonderful to be here, my friend.
I'm glad you're here, because you have a lot of answers and we have a lot of questions. You traveling at all, doing anything interesting, or is it a quiet summer for you?
This has been a pretty quiet summer, yeah. I've done some podcasting and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Staying home with the kids, huh?
The one-on-one with Tim Staples is a genius idea.
Hey.
Everybody we tell about it goes, that's exactly what you should do with Tim Staples. Like, that's not like anything else on the internet.
Yeah.
And it's like hitting you right in your strengths.
Yeah, because it would be hard to do one-on-one with Tim Staples with someone else.
Matt Frad would try.
Although with AI, you know.
Yeah, that's right. That's true.
Well, no, it's great. And we just aired our first broadcast.
Yeah.
This past Saturday. Yeah, and I got some a few folks. I paid them to write in, and they did, you know?
You know what the main problem with doing one-on-one with Tim Staples is, this is what Edgar told me, people will cancel on you. Like, you'll get all set up and ready to go, and they'll be like, oh, I can't do it today. Can I do it? Is that a
problem? That's right. Yeah, that has been a problem. We've had a couple times that happen,
but
that's okay.
They're scared.
Scaredy cats. No, but, you know, we're doing it for Catholics, non-Catholics, anyone. We've asked our, what do we call our 315 givers?
Oh, Society 315,
Society, yeah. 315 folks to, you know, if they have questions, something, let's say you're sharing the faith and, gosh, you got stuck. Bring it on in, and we'll talk about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
And so that's how it kind of started with Society 315. But now we're saying, you know what? All comers, man. Pastors, if you're a non-Catholic pastor or a member of any world religion or no religion at all. Those are some of my favorites. We will sit down one-on-one and talk about what you want to talk about.
Just like you do at the coffee shop.
Amen.
So I think my main problem with this as an episodic program is that you have to be angry to get click. Like, to be a Catholic podcast, you have to be like, Tim, you like people. That's a terrible quality that you have, and yes. You need to work on that.
I know. I have an anger problem.
Yeah, you don't have enough. You don't have enough anger to sell.
Yeah.
All right, we got all the lines full. Oh, no, there's a line open still. 888-318-7884. We're going to start in Michigan. Joseph is in Michigan. Well, are you there with us, Joseph?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you got to talk right into that phone, man.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, that's much better. Yeah, go ahead, Joseph, with your question for Tim.
Okay. Yeah, so my question is, how often should I go to confession when I'm in a state of mortal sin? Because I know the rule is I have to go whenever I'm in a state of mortal sin. So I don't necessarily want to do that, really only because I don't want to bother myself having to go as soon as possible. But also because I also won't really be that prepared. And it kind of turns confession into utilitarianism. And so I went to confession this Sunday, but I committed a mortal sin actually on that same day, most likely. And the confession near me for my rite, because I'm a Chaldean Catholic, it's on Thursday. So can I just postpone that until my Sunday Mass confession hybrid? Or do I have to go on Thursday? Or do I even have to go earlier to another rite in any Catholic church, whether it's nearby or far away, just so I don't stay in a state of mortal sin? So what's the practicality here?
Great, great question, Joseph. And it's funny you asked this because I was just talking with two of my kids about this very question. And there are several things to consider. Now, number one, you're correct. If you fall into mortal sin, you should go to confession as soon as you can, right? You realize you're sorry. And remember, Joseph, it's not as I think some of us can fall into a sort of false way of thinking by thinking, well, I have to just sit on this sin for a while until I'm really sorry for it, right? And that I think, generally speaking, is a wrong way of thinking, because we can get really into this thinking of it all depends on me versus it really is all about God. And I think if our focus is, look, I've just committed a mortal sin against Almighty God, and we recognize, Joseph, that He loves us and He does not will for us to be apart from Him. That's not God's will, and we know that, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Notice, Cy, Jesus is about giving us life, right?
Mm-hmm.
John 10:10, He said, I have come. First, He says the thief, most likely here referring to the devil himself, as well as those under his spell, so to speak, or in his kingdom, the thief cometh not but for to kill, steal, and destroy, right? That's the attitude of the enemy of our souls. He wants to kill. He loves it, Joseph. If you or I fall into mortal sin and we're cut off from Christ, that is the thing that gets the devil's in a state of damnation. But if there's one thing that gets his jollies, right, so to speak, it's seeing others suffer. He's so angry all the time and hates everything that God loves that he rejoices in that, seeing you or anyone else separated from God. But that's not God. God desires you to be with him. Jesus said to the apostles, I go to prepare a place for you in John chapter 14, right? And he says, and if I go away, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Now, I skipped a bunch of verses there, but I think you get the sense of what we're saying. So what I'm saying here, Joseph, is we've got to, you know, King David, after he fell into both murder and adultery, right, with Bathsheba, and murdering her husband, He says in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and restore a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And then I will sing your praise, right? Notice with David, and he had committed some pretty awful sins. Wouldn't we say murder and adultery are up there, right? And he had. But notice it was about God. And he was saying, Lord, restore a right spirit in me. Create in me a clean heart so that I can praise you. I'm always taken by that, Joseph, to see how far away David gets even from these heinous sins. He doesn't say, oh, I committed this and I committed that. But he's really focused on the Lord. He is sorry, and he wants to be in union with God. So with that in mind, Joseph, you don't have to wait, right? You know, 3 days so you can really sit in sin and so forth. You really don't. As long as you know what you did is wrong, and a priest is available, run to him. And we have an image of Jesus in Luke chapter 15 that would have been a mind blower for any Jew who first heard and then later read the prodigal son. Because when the father sees the son afar off, the scripture says the father ran to him. That is not the image of God the Father in the Old Testament. If you look at Daniel chapter 7 with the big beard and sitting on a throne and flames of fire and so forth, Jesus reveals to us God as he is in a way unheard of in the Old Testament, and that is as a father who loves his children. I'm sorry, I took a little time on that. But Joseph, I think that's so important. Number one, we run to Jesus, confess our sins as soon as we can. But then number two, no, you don't have a license. You can't just go whenever you want to, and you are not responsible. I had this talk, I mentioned, Joseph, with two of my three older kids. I said, look, God doesn't ask you to do the impossible, right? And heroically to walk 10 miles and so forth. No, you go when you can. And then understand, in the meantime, you're praying. You're asking God to create that clean heart in you. Absolutely. You're not sitting in your sin and wallowing in the mire so much as you're saying, Lord, I cannot wait to get to confession so that I can be healed. And I know it's your will to transform me. I am sorry. And you pray and you say you're sorry. And guess what? Joseph, you're already receiving grace right there. And God alone knows how much grace you're receiving. Because in fact, if we have perfect contrition in our hearts, we will receive the grace of the sacrament before we even get there. Isn't that great, Sykelet?
Yes, amen to that.
We will get there before. I mean, we will receive the grace before we even get there. But of course, we have to go because, number one, we don't know if we've attained that level of perfect contrition and such. But also, God wants us completely healed, not only of the sin, but all the effects of those sins as well. So my brother, Joseph, do not worry about doing what you cannot ordinarily do. God doesn't ask you to do extraordinary things, but ordinary things. If you can't get there, that is beyond you. You're 15 years old. You don't have a car. You go when you can. And brother, get excited about it. I love Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. This is right after, remember, Jesus says to the church of Laodicea, be ye hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth, right? He has a harsh message for the folks at Laodicea. They were very wealthy, and they were doing some pretty bad stuff, right? But guess what? After Jesus puts a little bit of a whip to him, you know what he says in verse 19? He says, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Yeah. In other words, be eager to repent. And then he says in verse 20, that was verse 19, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will invite him in. He will come in unto me, and I to him, and he will have fellowship with me, and I with him, and he will sit with me on my throne. That's the Jesus revealed in the book of Revelation. Yes, he has strong messages about mortal sin is serious stuff, but then he always ends with, be zealous, repent, I'm here. You open that door, I'm coming into you, and you're coming into me, and we are going to have a fellowship beyond anything you can imagine.
Joseph, thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much for starting us off and for that excellent question. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more. Ask Me Anything with Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily Mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at Magnificat.com.
He is honored by the Church as a saint with the title Second Apostle of Germany.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
The Dutch-born Jesuit, St. Peter Canisius, was one of the key figures in restoring the Catholic faith in Germany during the Protestant Reformation. He is renowned for his catechism and also for his founding more than 40 universities that proved bastions of Catholicism across Central Europe. He died in 1597 and was named a doctor in 1925.
To find out more, visit EWTN.com and click on Catholicism.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Tim Staples is here with us for an Ask Me Anything. All the lines are full, and we're going to get back to the lines. But first, we get to welcome one of our favorite people running one of the best departments anywhere. Donna Barrick is the head of marketing here at Catholic Answers, and we are always happy when Donna's around. Thanks for coming in, Donna.
Thank you, Cy. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, we love it when you're on, but you did something kind of clever. You came. I mean, it's not like it hasn't been done before, but you brought it here. The Book of the Month Club. That's
a
new thing.
I guess since Todd Aglialoro came to Catholic Answers, he's the director of publishing here, he always wanted to do a Book of the Month Club for people who just love to read. And it just took some time to bring it together and make it possible. So we just launched it. It's really only been up for a couple of weeks. And I forgot to bring a book with me to show you the first book, which was Feast of Our Fathers. Do you
I'll
have a copy of that?
I'll see if I've got it here.
So the first book is Feast of Our Fathers. Coming up next month, we're going to be doing Confusion in the Kingdom, which is Trent Horn's new book. Bad on me for not bringing the books
I
with
do
me.
Have that one. I have Confusion in the
yes.
Kingdom.
Yes.
There it
well,
is.
Well, it's the end of July. So August, we'll be doing Feast of Confusion in the Kingdom. Confusion in the Studio with
Don Barrick.
But some of the great benefits of joining the club is, number one, if you love to read and you love the sense of community and discussion, it's a perfect club to join.
Cool.
You're going to be supporting Catholic Answers and all our good work. So normally what you get for buying a book at $18.95 plus the shipping, it's about $25. This is what we did in July, Feast of Our Fathers.
There it is.
So it's a beautiful leatherette book. If you sign up today, you'll still get this book for July. But August is Confusion in the Kingdom. After that, we have a new book that I don't even have the cover for it yet. It's by Joel Peters, and it's Why Sola Scriptura Doesn't Work. So that's going to be an excellent book to cover as well.
So you're not just doing old books. These are all brand new books.
We're using all new books, okay. And that was our goal. So another reason for launching the club now is the press's output is greater than it has ever been. And so we are putting out books. About 12 a year, 10 to 12 books a year, so we have enough. But we're going to be doing invite only to club members for live streaming with the author and the head of publishing.
Oh, that's nice.
And so they'll be able to do Q&A. They'll be able to submit questions. It's a really great time to join, and your donation or your purchase goes to support all the good work that Catholic Answers does.
So can you tell us about that? How does that work? Like you go to a website and sign up and...
Right. So you can go to shop.catholic.com. On the top, there's a banner that says Book of the Month Club. You can also, in the footer of the site, there's Book of the Month Club. Just click on that, and then you can see what's coming up on the calendar. You can read about all the different benefits that come along with Book of the Month Club. Like we have a fun bookmark that you'll get with your first purchase.
Cool.
And it's a Thomas Aquinas colorful laminated bookmark. And I think there's a quote that we put on the bookmark, and then after doing some research, we found out that it may not be attributed to Thomas Aquinas. So
don't
if you want to know
Orne.
What it says, you have to join the book club so you can find out what this quote is. But
we just say this should have been said
yeah.
by Thomas.
Yeah.
That's right. But then if you join the book club too, you're going to get sneak peeks at products that are coming out. You're going to have other opportunities
Great.
To get coupons for the book, too, if you want to buy additional copies and start your own little discussion groups in your own community.
Oh, how great.
Yeah, so it's $25 to join. And if you are so inclined, you can give at a higher level as well, just to support all of our good work. But if you join now, today, before the 31st, you'll get Feast of Our Fathers. So
awesome.
Don't miss out on this excellent book. It's our first leatherette book, and you'll be praying the major and minor feasts of the year.
With Jeff
with the
Cavins,
church,
one
with
of the
early
greats.
Christians. Yeah.
Well, I mean, early Christians, yes, but also
he's
Jeff
not,
Cavins.
He's
with
not
Jeff
that Cavins. Old.
No, it's Mike Aquilina.
Oh, Mike Aquilina.
He's just giving credit to
I got confused.
Mike Aquilina and
Mike
Adam Lucas.
Yeah. Okay, very good.
Yeah.
I don't know why I made Jeff Cavins the author of it. I wasn't trying to call Jeff Cavins so old, but he's
okay.
one of the early church. That is not what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
Well, sounded to me like, but okay.
So Book of the Month Club, go to Catholic shop.catholic.com, and at the top you're going to see the banner for Book of the Month Club. But we also have cool merch like this new Trent Horn hat, so Council of Trent.
Look at you. You are selling everything.
Well, since you had me on.
Are you the director of marketing around here or what?
Just a little bit.
I like the new Trent Horn, the new...
new logo.
The new logo and then the new merch you got
it's
for
sharp,
Council
right?
of Trent. Yeah, yeah. It's really good.
Super fun. And in a couple weeks, the new Jimmy Akin podcast will be out.
That's right.
It's called the Jimmy Akin podcast.
And you'll have merch for that. And then we need
Took
a one-on-one
a long
for
time.
Tim Staples after
yes.
that. But that's getting going, too. We
yes,
have so many cool things going on.
So many cool things.
Thanks for making it known to people.
Thank
I know,
you.
It's amazing what your department does.
Well,
it
thank
really
you.
Is amazing.
Well, my team works with everyone else in the building.
Yeah.
Without all the work that you do, we wouldn't have anything to do. So.
Yeah, but they're all really good-hearted people
everyone
who are
in
also
the building
like
is.
Top professionals.
Well, everyone that works here
we're trying to be like that in the radio department. We're trying to imitate that, but the top professional part, some of us are lacking.
I don't know about that.
She got so ashamed for me, she went to a British accent.
Well, we have guests in the studio from Gibraltar.
From Gibraltar, yeah.
Gibraltar.
Right.
So I was
yeah.
working on my accent.
Oh. Yeah. Was that a Gibraltar accent you were
I
doing?
I think it was,
okay,
sort of.
Okay, well, congratulations
like,
on that,
It was
Donna.
Sort of British, and then the Spanish I'll have to work on that one.
All right, Book of the Month Club.
Book of the Month
Shop.catholic.com. Thank you, Donna Barrick.
Thank you, guys.
All right, back
all right.
to the phones we go. It's always nice to have you in here, Donna.
Amen.
Let's go to Florida. Joshua is listening on 100.1 FM in Florida. Joshua, thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question for Tim Staples.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Doing
good,
great.
Joshua.
What's on your mind, Joshua?
I was curious why in the Catholic faith they hold to the seven sacraments.
Yes.
Like the requirements to salvation. Because
mm-hmm.
in like a Christian standpoint, I know we hold to just grace through faith, and obviously have works that is a fruit of your faith. But
mm-hmm.
just curious where.
Sure.
Or why they hold so strong to that.
Yeah, great question, Joshua. Well, the key is understanding first that, and you mentioned, you didn't quote the verse, but you alluded to Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. The Catholic Church teaches that our salvation is first of all, by grace. And in fact, there's a sense in which we can say as Catholics, by grace alone, in fact, through faith. and our obedience and good works and all of the sacraments. But of course, it's only by, through, and in the power of God's grace merited for us on the cross by Jesus Christ. But see, the key is this, though, of course, both faith and grace do not come from us. And that's Paul's point. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. And by the way, he's referring there to both grace and faith being a gift from God. And we believe that. However, Jesus is the one who tells us how he distributes that unmerited favor that we call grace, right? He distributes that grace. And seven of the principal ways that he communicates that grace to us, not taking away, because of course it's Jesus who established those seven sacraments. And by the way, we don't all have to receive all of those sacraments, because the sacraments, for example, of holy orders, that means ordination, or holy matrimony, which means marriage, is not for everyone. So it depends. Not everyone gets married. Not everyone is an ordained priest. So they are necessary for salvation, but in accordance with our particular calling in life. But now, Joshua, here's the key. What we see in Scripture. And if you could hang on, Joshua, through the break, I'd like to put a bow on this and just show you real quickly why we believe in those seven sacraments that are the instruments whereby Jesus brings that grace to us in our lives ordinarily.
Hang on, Joshua. Tim Staples is our guest. It's Ask Me Anything. And the question is, sacraments, why are Catholics so attached to the sacraments? Right back. As we read the Gospels, every Christian faces the question again and again, what does Jesus mean? Getting the answer right is critical to both growth in holiness and fruitful evangelization. Want to know Jesus better so you can introduce him to your friends? Then it's time to get serious about understanding his words. Why not join Catholic Answers for our 10th annual Apologetics Conference? Learn from me the parables, sermons, and conversations of Jesus Christ, September 26th through 29th, right here in sunny San Diego. Learn from our guests, Dr. Scott Hahn and Kimberly Hahn, Dr. Ray Guarendi, Father Sebastian Walsh, Billy Junker, Father Paul Check, and, of course, all of your favorite Catholic Answers apologists. It'll be 4 days of fun, faith, fellowship, and a live radio show. Seats are still available, but going fast. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 1-888-291-8000 today.
Why We're Catholic is the one book you can hand to anyone to invite them into or back to the Catholic faith. With more than 400,000 copies sold, Trent Horn's book has had a number one ranking on Amazon.com for 5 years running. Now available in softcover, bulk cases, ebook, and on Audible. Find out what the excitement is all about. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic at shop.catholic.com or visit whywearecatholic.com.
Many people have forgotten just how revolutionary the Bible creation stories are. But the first three chapters of Genesis are a powerful challenge to anyone in any generation who would undervalue human lives. In the Beginning, the new book by Monica Migliorino-Miller will take you on a fantastic journey through the first chapters of Genesis, unfolding the richness of life as God sees it. Get In the Beginning today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore.
Matt Swaim here. Join us for the Best of the Sunrise Morning Show with summer reading suggestions, pilgrimage ideas, and tips for incorporating your faith into summer activities. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Talking with Joshua in Florida. At least the way I understood the question, and Joshua, you can correct me if I'm wrong, you are not a Catholic, you are a Christian person, not a Catholic, and you're like, why are Catholics, your understanding is faith, that salvation comes through faith alone, so why are Catholics so attached to the seven sacraments? Did I sum it up, Joshua, properly?
Yeah, it sounds right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, well, Joshua, and by the way, we were just talking about my new podcast that I'm doing here. It's actually a YouTube series. I think I got it right. On our Catholic Answers YouTube channel, if you would like to be a guest, we could talk about this for about 45 minutes to 1 hour, my friend. If you are interested, I'm reading a script, by the way. If you are interested, stay on the line, and Edgar will talk about you, about being a guest on One-on-One with Tim Staples. All right, now, back to your, and I'm serious, bro, if you would want to do that. But Joshua, here's the key. So we understand that Jesus merited our salvation. He is, as 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he is the propitiation for our sins, not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. He merited infinitely, right? So all the grace that we receive comes through Jesus Christ and him alone. Mary can't merit grace on her own. Cy Kellett can't merit. No one can merit grace. However, once we enter into grace, that's when we can begin to merit rewards from God. That's the Catholic position, and that's what we see all over the New Testament. I'll just mention, for example, Galatians 6, verses 7 through 9. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he reap. If a man continues to sow to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap death. If he continues to sow to the Spirit, he shall of or from the Spirit reap everlasting life. Therefore, let us not grow weary in well-doing, because we know we will reap the reward. What reward? Eternal life. If we faint not. Okay, but the key is, how do we get this grace into our lives, right? And of course, faith is essential, but not faith alone, my friend. At least in the way that Luther taught, faith alone. He went wrong. And why is that? Because, yes, faith is necessary, as Hebrews 11 says, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, because without faith it's impossible to please God. But notice, in Mark 16, 16, now we're going to talk sacraments here, just for a minute, Joshua. In Mark 16, 16, Jesus says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's one of the reasons why we believe faith alone is not enough. If you're going to say faith alone apart from baptism, no, because Jesus says that it's faith and baptism that leads to salvation. 1 Peter 3:21, St. Peter tells us, baptism does now save us. Now, by the way, that doesn't mean baptism alone, because we also need faith. John 3:16. I hope you're following me on this, Joshua. And I guess St. Paul sums it up in Romans 6:3 when he says, we are buried together with him through baptism. Notice, that's how we enter into Christ's death. We're buried together with him through baptism, just so that just as Christ was raised to newness of life, we would be raised to newness of life in him. So that's why we see baptism as necessary, because that's the instrument that Jesus established. He's the one who told the apostles to baptize in places like John 3:22, John 3:5, Mark 16:16, as I said. And through that great gift, we enter into Christ and we experience new life. However, there's a second sacrament called, we call it confirmation, that Jesus also promised to give. Remember in John 16:13, the apostles who had already come to faith, they already believed. In fact, Jesus said in John 15:3, a whole chapter before, he said, you are already clean, he says, the apostles, because you've received my word. And yet, he tells them in John 16:13, don't go anywhere, right? He says, wait for the promise of the power of God. He says, I am going to send the Holy Spirit who will lead you into all truth. In fact, that I was referencing two texts there, John 16:13 and Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 8, especially verse 6, where he says, tarry in Jerusalem, don't go anywhere, where, and wait for the promise of the Father. And what is that promise? The gift of the Holy Spirit who will lead you, John 16:13, lead you into all truth. And through the Holy Spirit, we receive power. Skip down to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power, dunamis, after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So that is the sacrament of confirmation, which takes the power of the Holy Spirit we already have in baptism and increases it and empowers us to be able to live. And that's what we see in Acts chapter 1, leading up to chapter 2, verse 4, of course, at Pentecost, where the apostles, there, the flames of fire come upon 120 people's heads and they transform the world. That's the sacrament of confirmation. But notice, that's power. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's sanctifying grace. That's an increase in the grace that we've already received through baptism. And then we could go to the third sacrament, which is the Eucharist. Now, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to go through all seven because we'll take the whole show here. But maybe, Joshua, if you want to be a guest on my podcast, we'll go through all seven in detail. But the Eucharist, of course, is the source and summit of our faith as Catholic Christians. This is the sacrament Jesus taught us about in John 6:53. In fact, the whole chapter of John 6, where he said, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." This is the sacrament that St. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15, where he says, "The cup which we bless," he's referring to communion, Joshua. He says, "The cup which we bless, is it not the partaking in the blood of Christ?" That is a very plain reference to the Eucharist. That's the term we use for communion, Eucharist, which means to give thanks, because Jesus, when he instituted the Eucharist, he started with giving thanks, Eucharisto in Greek. But Paul says, "And the bread which we bless, is it not a partaking in the body of Christ?" And you see, that's how ultimately we get to heaven, is by the blood of Jesus Christ. As you've been taught, I'm sure, Joshua, in your church, right? We're covered in the blood of Jesus. In fact, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, St. John says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ continues to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice there, John's talking about an ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ, and the blood continues to cleanse us. See, not just one time when you accept Jesus, according to St. John, but you continue. And this is one of the ways we receive the blood of Christ, of course, in the Eucharist. So, Joshua, that's just three out of the seven sacraments that we could talk about. But does that make sense? You see, Joshua, the key is, I'm finding more and more as a Catholic, this thing really is about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the sacraments are all about Jesus himself empowering us to have that personal relationship. Does that make sense, Joshua?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Wonderful.
Well, brother, if you want to, talk to my brother here, Edgar, if you're interested, not to strong-arm anybody, but we could have some fun talking about this on the broadcast, all right?
Just hang on. If you'd like, Edgar will pick up the phone and get your information if that's something you'd like to do. I'm going to—you know what? I better take a quick break, and we'll get a break in, and then we'll, in 60 seconds we'll be back and take more questions for Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
One of the biggest mistakes a Christian can make is to try to do good without God's help. Saint Therese said, "When we trust only ourselves and not God, our soul becomes incapable of virtue." Her remedy? Works of charity. And the greatest work of charity is to share the gospel. At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we encourage you to share the gospel with someone who doesn't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. StreetEvangelization.com.
Wherever you are in the world, you can access the EWTN Global Catholic Network. It's everywhere. You can get EWTN's great Catholic programming on your car radio, at home on your TV, computer, or smart speaker. With EWTN's app, you can take EWTN everywhere, on your phone or mobile device. If you want your news in print, turn to EWTN's paper of record, the National Catholic Register. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kelly, your host, over on our YouTube page on the community tab. There's a poll up right now. We have a poll question up if you want to take it. Or if you have our app, then the poll just comes to you. You don't have to do anything. The poll just comes to you. And in the second hour, we're going to share the results with Tim and see what he thinks. Right now, we're going to Florida. Joshua. No, we just talked with Joshua in Florida. All right, get together.
We got Sammy.
Let's go to Lincoln, Nebraska, where Sammy is listening. Sammy, thank you very much for the call. You got a question for Tim Staples?
You bet. Thank you, guys.
All right,
big fan of the show. First-time caller. I'm trying to also entertain my 2-year-old, so.
Oh, this should be good. This should be good.
If he runs in here screaming, you'll know.
Well, that's good. We like 2-year-olds.
Well,
we'll
try to entertain him at the same time.
Yeah, right.
I appreciate it.
Does he like theology? Because just turn the radio up if he likes theology.
He likes taking the money up to Father.
Beautiful. That's so nice.
Running down the aisle.
That's a good Catholic.
But, yeah. He's a good boy.
What's on your mind, brother?
So I'm reading The True Devotion to Mary by St. Louis de Montfort.
Awesome book.
For that very reason, to try to develop a true devotion. And I'm really early into it.
Yeah.
And I'm in the introduction here, paragraph 7. And I could read the whole thing here. It's pretty short, but basically what he's saying, he gets to a point where he says the saints are saying admirable things about this holy city of God. I assume that's in reference to Mary, but I'm not 100% sure, because then it goes on to say that it is in true immeasurable that the grandeur of her power, which she exercises even over God himself, incomprehensible.
Yes.
I just wanted further clarification on that. I just was questioning, if this is in reference to Mary, how does she exercise power over God himself?
Oh, yeah. Awesome, brother. I tell you, that book is so rich. St. Louis de Montfort was, of course, the master when it came to the Blessed Mother. But here's the key. What St. Louis is emphasizing, and especially at a time, and we're in this same time in this sense that he was, where Protestantism is all the rage, and in particular, Calvinism. And unfortunately, Luther and Calvin, who are two of, I would say, of all of the reformers, those two were probably the most dangerous in their errors because they're the language they used. And thanks be to God, in our dialogue with the Lutherans, I know that doesn't represent all Lutherans because, of course, the Missouri Synod, Wisconsin Synod, and others didn't have anything to do with that. I'm referring to the famous declaration that the Catholic Church signed with the Lutherans of the Lutheran World Federation, where we came to certain agreements, at least on the initial grace of justification, that yes, there is human cooperation involved. Just to give you a sense of things, though, remember, Luther taught in his greatest work, as it's called, his magnum opus, where he essentially denies free will. The book is called The Bondage of the Will. And in two different places in that book, he says that you and I are like a beast, right? If God gets on our back and rides us, he'll ride us to heaven. If the devil gets on our back and rides us, he'll ride us to hell. But the beast has no choice as to who rides him, right? And that was, of course, his whole thesis of bondage of the will. There is no free will. He calls free will, every name in the book. And of course, he's dialoguing with Erasmus, who was a Catholic theologian, who I think does a pretty darn good job, even though he himself had his own theological issues, but he was a good son of the church. But here's the point. That sort of, free will is a farce. There is no free will. And John Calvin took that Luther said and put it on steroids with his idea of double predestination. So that, you and I are basically puppets, dude. There is no free will. There is no cooperation. The idea of cooperation was absolutely anathema to Luther. Right? And whether that's cooperation preceding justification, because when God calls us, he never coerces us. We can, you know, as Acts chapter 7, verse 55, in fact, verses 51 through 55, if you remember St. Stephen, when he's about to get stoned to death, when he's preaching the gospel there in Jerusalem, and they kill him for it, he says to them, you, to the elders of Jerusalem, he says, you are stiff-necked, you who resist the Holy Spirit of God, right? They resist the Holy Spirit. They resist the grace of God, whom Stephen knew was calling them to salvation. Now, that means in preparation for the grace of justification, or after we receive the grace of justification, we can always resist. But understand, you and I know that as a Catholic. But remember, Luther and Calvin taught that is absolute heresy. There is no free will and such. So when you read St. Louis, of course, he's coming with this as a backdrop, and he's presenting the importance of understanding free will. Now, of course, free will, we have no power to merit anything unless it's as St. Peter says in 2 Peter 3:18. He says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can only begin to merit and do what St. Louis is talking about once you enter into Christ. With our last caller, I talked about baptism. Baptism is the first sacrament, first chronologically, and it has a first in primacy as well. Of course, the Eucharist is the greatest because it's Jesus and all other sacraments are ordered toward it. But baptism has a certain primacy because that's the sacrament whereby we enter into Christ, and then the doors are opened for all the other sacraments and the power of God so that we can begin to do what St. Louis is talking about. Right now, let's get to that. Because once we enter into Christ, here's a key. Before Christ, what can we do? John 15:5, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. But what happens when we enter into Christ? As my old Greek professor, Father Patrick Brannan, he's long since gone to his reward, but I quote him all the time, one of the most brilliant men, if not the most brilliant man I ever met. He said, before Christ, we can do nothing. After, look at John 14:12, right? Jesus says, you will do greater things than I did. We could talk a whole lot about what that means, right? And St. Paul in Philippians 4:13, he says, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me, right? Now, why is that? Because we now have the power of Christ working in us. However, my friend, we also have free will. So God, even when we're in him, Cy, God doesn't force us to do meritorious actions. We must freely choose. See, but if we do, as Christians, we can literally change the world. Now, you say, but wait a minute, this thing, you got power over God? Absolutely. Why? Because that's the way God established his economy of salvation. Lumen Gentium, the dogmatic constitution on the church, has a beautiful section on this, as does the catechism. Especially, I'll point you to the Catechism section 2008 through 2010. Glorious section where it says that God has chosen to use the free cooperation of his creatures in his plan of salvation. What does that mean? That means if I choose to walk with Jesus, to say yes to Jesus at that coffee shop, let's say,
yes,
and go over and talk to some folks, and by God's grace, they come to faith in Jesus. They come to the sacraments. Guess what? I have cooperated with God in saving a soul. See, that's why the Bible will say all over the place in 2 Corinthians 9:22. St. Paul, not 2 Corinthians, that would be 1 Corinthians 9:22. St. Paul says, I've become all things to all men that by all means I might save some. How can Paul save anybody? Because of his cooperation. Now, it's God who's the first principle of salvation. He's the first cause. But because we have free will, and that's the sticking point with Luther and Calvin, my friend, Because we have free will. Yes, if I choose not to walk over there, guess what? That person may not. Now, it's true, somebody else could come and whatever, but maybe not too, Cy Kellett.
Yeah.
The point is, yes, we have power over God. Now, granted, I know in our modern theology, we don't like to use that language of over. I get what St. Louis is saying. I actually like it because I think it's poetic and I think it's beautiful. But it also gets at the point here that God could do everything. He could do. He could come down here right now and answer this question a lot better than this knucklehead is doing. He could come down here and do literally everything we do at Catholic Answers and everything every Christian does. But he does not do that, Cy Kellett. He chooses to use us and our free cooperation. And in that, we become, as St. Paul describes it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, he says we are co-laborers with Christ, right? So yeah, there's a certain power because, and maybe the ultimate example is what St. Louis is going to get to if you keep reading with the Blessed Mother. We have example after example of the Blessed Mother who, until she says, let it be done unto me, in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, there's no incarnation, my friend. But when she says, let it be done, the entire universe is changed. Jesus did not perform the miracle at the wedding of Feast of Cana until Mama says so in John chapter 2. That is just a fact. That's what it says. In fact, Jesus pushes back. He says, ti emoi kai soi gune. In other words, what is this between you and me, woman? I'm not going to do this. I mean, that's basically what he's saying. If you understand the Hebraism in that text that goes back to the Old Testament, that's a powerful line of rebuke. Mama's coming and saying, hey, these folks need a miracle here. And Jesus is basically saying no. But what does Mary say? Get ready. Here comes the miracle. Basically. Now, it's not exactly
paraphrase.
That.
To paraphrase.
That's right. He says, she says, do whatever he tells. And he performs the miracle. And by the way, he performs the miracle basically at the request of the Blessed Mother. And through that, Jesus performs his first miracle, enters into his ministry, and the apostles come to faith. That is a quote from John chapter 2, verse 11. And we could go on to the foot of the cross. It's Jesus who prepares his mother for that sacred moment that was prophesied in Luke chapter 2, verses 34 and 35 by Simeon the prophet, where he says, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again, and basically for the salvation of all, he says, for the many, and to be a sign of contradiction which shall be spoken against. But then he turns to her, and a sword will pierce your soul, that the dialogsmoi, the dialogue, the thoughts out of many hearts would be manifest. That is, the same people Simeon said Jesus was going to die for, Mary was going to spiritually die for. Powerful text there. Of course, it's fulfilled on the cross. And so, yeah, Jesus, in a sense, didn't even go and die on the cross until first he prepares his mother through the preparation of the prophet Simeon to understand Mary's role at the foot of the cross, where Pope John Paul, I think, brings it out so powerfully and beautifully in his masterpiece encyclical on suffering, Salvifici Dolores, section 25, where Pope St. John Paul the Great says, at that moment, the sufferings of Mary and Jesus were so intimately and integrally interwoven that her sufferings became a participation in the redemption of all. And we see that portrayed in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, the woman who gives birth to the Messiah in verses 4 and 5, and then in verse 17, gives birth to all of us. So look, I think to sum all this up, brother, it all really gets back to free will, the free will that Luther and Calvin rejected. And by the way, many of their followers are coming back to a belief in free will. Thanks be to God. But we can't pass over this. This is devastating when you deny this, because of course, if there's no free will, you know, we are puppets.
We can't merit anything. We can't do anything. And it's just a matter of if God's going to choose Cy Kellett, he's going to heaven. If it, not going to choose Tim Seck, well, you're going to hell, and so forth. So understand, that's the context in which St. Louis is saying we have power over God in as much as if we choose to cooperate, all heaven will break loose.
Sammy, thanks so much. I hope the two-year-old is doing well and survived that answer and question and everything without it causing you too much trouble while you were trying to listen. But we appreciate the call. That takes us to the break, and we'll be right back. And there's a few folks on the line, but you can call if you've got a question for Tim, 888-318-7884. Also, a new thing. We're trying out doing some polls listeners can participate in, and then we'll share the poll results with Tim when we come back. We're after this on Catholic Answers Live.